At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Hey, warmer from Evo! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you. We're going to be joined in segment number two by Tristan Freeman, who does excellent work over at Boston Brackets. We're going to be chatting with him about some of the moves that we did see on Sunday with Kylan Ballaswell heading on over to Illinois from Arizona. Texas picks up a pair of guards and just what he's made out of these coaching hires. The sort of second going of the coaching carousel, because it felt like things were winding down to begin with, and then Coach Calipari heads on over to Arkansas, and that led to really a second wave. So what to make out of that front, what he's currently taking a look at in terms of some of these coaches that might be bringing their own over, like Josh Hertz, trying to be able to land some of the Indiana State Sycamore players that he was coaching last year over at St. Louis, and so much more. And then in the final segment, we're going to get you guys a roundup of everything that we saw in college basketball on Sunday. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at @JNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really didn't get in any Twitter/X questions, and I do want you to send in a few because I use them really for the first segment here, but I do feel like we've got a nice topic to be able to dive in on here to begin the show, and that's what to gauge out of teams that hit the transfer portal early/late. And I do think that it is meaningful, and it's not like it's an end-all be-all if a team dives into the transfer portal a little bit later on. They get a lot of their ads in like June. It doesn't mean it's an end-all be-all. I would say that once the NBA draft decisions are made, about 3 weeks afterwards, if you're 3 weeks late to picking up anyone in the transfer portal, that's when it really gets to be an issue. I've just noticed that throughout the years in college basketball, anytime between now and I would say late June, teams are going to be fine. They're going to have enough time to be able to build chemistry, to be able to get to know one another. But I do think that one of the biggest concerns I have for a team going into the season is if they were formed sort of on the fly/late. Like, we saw this very prevalently with West Virginia this past season because they lost a lot of guys. They had to try to bring in someone like a Quinn Slezinski at the last minute, and you knew that it was going to be a wreck to start with. But I think part of the reason why it was such a wreck is that they did have to bring in a lot of these guys later on in the process. You did see a team in Kansas State get a few late ads 2 seasons ago. That's back when they had really a dynamic duo out there in the front court and the back court. It was just absolutely incredible what Jerome Tang was able to do in season 1, being able to land Keontae Johnson late in the process. You had Marquise Noel still be in the fold. He did a really nice job of being able to build through the transfer portal late in the offseason, but typically it's something that doesn't work out well for these coaches. So I do take a look at a team like Texas, who is going to be having a pair of guys in Trayvon Mark, coupled with also Julian Larry from Indiana State coming in, and I think that that's big time. Larry was a tremendous three-point shooter, giving you about 11 points per contest, shot from three-point range about 46% or so. And then Tremont Mark, while he's not going to be like a super versatile passer or anything like that at 6'5", this guy was a part of a winning program over at Houston the last few seasons, put up big numbers at Arkansas. He gave you 16 points per contest, shot 36.5% from three. Problem was they were very hollow because there was absolutely no facilitation over there at Arkansas. But I look at what they did, I think that it's a thumbs up for that Texas program. And Texas, they built themselves quite a bit through the transfer portal the last few seasons. You could tell that things just did not go the way that Rodney Terry had wanted. I still think that it's fair to have a few question marks on that front with him, but I do think that this is really going to be that rubber meets the road year for him, and I think that that's something to ask about with Tristan Freeman as well. These year two, year three coaches, I think that's so important. And something else I think that is worth asking about is if some of these coaches are going to be feeling pressure to be able to win in year number one, to sort of get the monkey off their back. We notice a lot of coaches go into a little bit more of a year two funk because Jerome Dang had that great first year over at Kansas State. Dennis Gates, he had a tremendous first year at Missouri. Both of those guys had their programs really fall off a cliff this last season, much more Missouri than Kansas State. Kansas State was so competitive, they still made the NIT, and Missouri in the SEC won as many games as Greg Peterson, and I do not compete in the SEC, but we're certainly going to be asking about that and so much more, as there's so much going on in college basketball right now with north of 1,600 guys in the transfer portal, and we're going to be breaking down much of it next with our good friend Tristan Freeman of Busted Brackets here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Jay.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
We're back to MLB Las Vegas for Cusco Soups with myself, Greg Eames Peterson, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man. Tristan Freeman is just a hardworking man that does an amazing job taking a look at college basketball. Here we catch him on the Field of 68, Sleepers Media, his main thing, FanSite, his college basketball coverage over at Bussin' Brackets. He is breaking down the transfer portal. He's looking at all these coaching hires. He has his finger on the pulse of everything that's happening out there in the great state of Pennsylvania as well. And you're able to follow him on Twitter /X at Hoopsa351. And Tristan, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Greg. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Tristan. And no question about it, it has been a very, very rambunctious offseason. And the Nets were cut down less than 7 days ago. Just what have you made out of all the coaching hoopla that has come about? Because it felt like prior to the Coach Calipari news, prior to everything that happened with Kentucky, it felt like we were simmering down a little bit, but it's as if the Kentucky hiring of Mark Pope and John Calipari heading on over to Arkansas almost caused for a second go of it with regards to coaching carousel.
Yeah, I mean, when Kentucky lost to Oakland and, you know, the Big Blue Nation pretty much was like, we were done with the Calipari era, it felt like something was going to happen, but then, you know, nothing. But I think ultimately Cal wanted to leave, and the question was going to be which job was going to be the one for him. And then Arkansas just opened up thanks to the carousel moves that SMU and USC made. It was just a perfect storm. If you were Kentucky, who could you get to say yes at this point in the juncture after some of the big names said no, and they got former player Mark Pope? So ultimately, it was, although a shocking one, you also could have saw some of these moves coming. I think it felt like it was going to be the end of Calipari, Kentucky. Mark Pope, especially coming off of this big year at BYU, could one day be the coach. I just didn't know it would be this soon. But it's very fascinating, assuming that BYU hires within, it'll pretty much close the coaching carousel for the high majors with a lot of surprising results, quite frankly.
Absolutely, and I do think that it's going to be interesting to see what we get moving forward, as most vacancies have been filled, but we know that Chicago State had one open up a little bit surprisingly with Mr. Gerald Killian actually deciding to become an associate head coach over at Long Island after doing, I'm going to call it what it is, an amazing job with that Chicago State program as well. So there's a lot to be able to decipher there. And in terms of coaching moves that we've seen over the last, we'll call it about two or so weeks, because we've had a lot that has gone down in college basketball since we last spoke. Are there a few in general that you take a look at and either you really like them or, for lack of a better term, you're intrigued by them? Maybe you like them, maybe you don't like them, but you just think that it's a little bit of an interesting fit.
I'm curious with how Muss is going to work at USC, because now during the Big Ten, and this is going to be a question that I think is going to be really fascinating with all these teams switching conferences, which ones are going to work out. You know, USC does have NIL, but not necessarily the same level as Arkansas, and I don't know if he can just simply grab transfers in and out. Now, USC is obviously one of the premier destination spot, but you know, you're not necessarily going to get everyone. And in a Big Ten, that's even when down, it's still very competitive. We'll see how that works. I think coming off this last year at Arkansas, where things just really went all the way left, I'm curious if he's going to continue his ways of being portal heavy or if he's going to switch it up.
Yep, it is going to be fascinating to see what he does, because we've actually seen John Calipari enter into the portal before. It's not like he's been completely against it, but you could tell he went very much too heavy with regards to one and dones this season. And just how much do you take a look at the approach that coaches are going to need to take this year into next year with the COVID year versus one that runs out? Because I do think that it's a little bit of a different landscape here in the next 24 months versus when we do get those COVID years that run out. Not that going completely one and done is ever going to be necessarily the thing once again, but I feel like it would probably work a little bit better like 2 or 3 years from now, what Calipari tried this year, rather than right now where it feels like every team is as old as it ever has been.
You mentioned the term one and done, and I think there's going to be a lot of that in the future, but not necessarily one and done from freshman standpoint, because there's a whole bunch of transfers that's just leaving after 1 year at their other spots. A good example, a player I'm looking at, Javion McCollum, went from Siena and spent a year at Oklahoma, is now going to Georgia Tech. He's technically a one-and-done guy, too. That will affect, because you'd rather have one-and-done, quote-unquote, you know, transfers that, you know, proven production than freshmen. But at the same time, you know, some of these freshmen you can hold on to, you know that you won't have to worry about that spot in the following offseason. So in this new world where no one is safe at their own spots, you're just going to have to find a way to make it work. And as you mentioned, we're going to lose a lot of fourth and fifth year seniors at the end of next year, which will force us to get younger. But it also could mean that it could just force teams to find even more mid-major guys to bring up, which would then, have a whole lot of error margin because, as we know, some of them can be stars and some can be just be bust.
Absolutely, and that's the way it sometimes goes in college basketball. You find that with freshman recruiting, and I mean, how many times haven't we seen a guy in the transfer portal be like, oh, yes, this guy is going to be a home run, and then he goes from averaging like 15 points per game at one place averaging like two. It happens every single year, as shown to me on the show. We do have Tristan Freeman, who does amazing work over at Bustin' Brackets, joining me right here on Cusco Soups. And what else I think is going to be interesting about this offseason cycle is watching to see whether or not guys at their old stops decide that they're going to be able to bring a lot of guys with them. Like right now, a lot of buzz is whether or not we're going to see Josh Schertz, who moved on over to St. Louis, bring over some of the Indiana State guys. Now, Julian Larry, he is off the board. He is not going to be going to Indiana State, but guys like Robbie Avalon and company, they're still out there for the taking. What have you made out of this sort of a trend? Because I do think that's bode very well for a lot of these coaches that are looking to be able to get off to a good start in year number one, and for lack of a better term, try to make sure that the fan base is off their back after year number one and get off to a good start.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's look at the best example of this, Dennis Gates, who was able to, A, keep Kobe Brown for another year, but also bring in some familiar faces from Cleveland State and Horizon League, and that worked out perfectly. He went to the tournament. Then a year later, you bring in some transfers that don't fit, and then it goes all the way horrible where you don't win a single game in the SEC. I'm sort of, not looking at coaches from their first year alone, although, them winning year one is great, so you can keep the optimism. But can they sustain it? We'll see what happens with Gabe because he had the ultimate high and ultimate low. We also saw this with Lamont Paris, where in his second year, he gets the right guys and they're a 5 seed and no one expected that. So there's just going to be a lot of variance. I think ultimately, especially if you're not a high major coach with a ton of resources, you just want to get off to a good start so where you can keep the momentum and become more viable on the recruiting trail. We saw this with Drew Valentine and Loyola Chicago, where their first year in the A-10 went so bad, and in the second year, they just get the right pieces and go first place. So ultimately, it just might not matter how you start, but you definitely got to get it going quickly because it's going to be rare for coaches to get 3-4 years to turn the ship around.
Yep, absolutely. It used to be that you would get those 3 to 4 years, and that's not quite the case anymore. Now, typically, we are not going to find a lot of one-and-done coaches, and the programs are giving you only 1 year. They've really got it wrong, in my opinion. But that said, we saw a lot of guys canned after 2 years. Now, I never thought that the Louisville situation was great to start with, but we saw like the Payne train and Kenny Payne get canned right away as well. So certainly something to watch out for as Tristan Freeman, who does such great work over at Bustin' Brackets, is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Soups. And certainly something I'm going to be watching out for with regards to the transfer portal are those guys that are going to be following their former coaches. But just how do you take a look at the portal and what we've all gotten thus far? Because there's so many guys that have decisions to make. As we know, it is going to be very impactful what we see in terms of these NBA draft decisions. That's a lot of the hottest players out there in the transfer portal. They are also entered into the NBA draft, and heck, some guys have actually already made their intentions known of entering into the NBA draft and have already decided on a different school. Like we saw that with UTSA's Jordan Ivy Curry, but just with regards to the transfer portal, who are a few guys that you're looking at that might be of a big giant impact? Because we've seen quite a few guys enter in the last few days, and I do think that there's some potential game changers that are out there on the market right now.
Honestly, with over like 1,000 dudes in the portal, trying to think of, just a couple is hard. I will say a guy like Keyshawn Hall, formerly of George Mason, who has a Final Four, he's a very interesting player because he's a guy who went for 20-8 there, but also might not be the greatest roster fit for some of these teams. He's down to a Final Four, including Michigan State. Spartans have been looking for a four, but they haven't been able to land on anyone. So I'm very curious all in all where he'll end up, because I think talent-wise, he could be a very good player who can absolutely fit the high majors.
Yep, absolutely. And there are just so many guys out there in the transfer portal. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But we did see a couple of big decisions be made, and Texas were big winners on Sunday as well. They land both Tremont Mark, who we recall he was a double-figure scorer while he was over at Arkansas along with Houston the last few seasons, and they brought in Julian Larry, who shot about 46% from three last season over at Indiana State. And I do think that this Texas team is going to be so interesting because we were talking about some of these coaches not necessarily having the world's longest runway. I do feel like there's going to be a lot of pressure on Rodney Terry this upcoming season.
I think his first full year with Max Asmus leading the way, it went fine. But they're now going to the SEC. And the bottom of the SEC, I would argue, is even tougher than the bottom of the Big 12. And there's going to be a lot of pressure. Now, we'll see what happens with guys like Dylan Mitchell and Tyrese Hunter. If they can stay, they'll have plenty of depth. About this team this past year just didn't really have much depth. And look, we'll see what happens with these Indiana State players because they're going from one system to another, and it's different. You know, honestly, it's hard to tell what Rodney Terry's system was with all the different pieces. I'm curious for them for sure. And Oklahoma, a team that currently doesn't really have anyone because they all hit the portal. And I'm very interested to see what their coach is going to do because, again, the SEC is going to be extremely tough. And the Big 12 is going to be tough, too, when you have the Arizona schools, Colorado, and Utah coming in as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That is going to be an absolutely brutal conference, and that's one that I'm taking a look at, and I'm very intrigued by. And then out of all the transfers that we did see on Sunday, I felt like this one was the biggest impact, and this was one that I thought was very needed for Illinois because, as we know, they're going to be having to replace Terrence Shannon and all the production that he provided a season ago. But Kyle Boswell deciding that he's going to go to Illinois, I thought was a big-time get for them. Someone who reclassified, so while most players will be in technically his sophomore year because he reclassified, he's already got 2 years under his belt, was able to log about 9.5 points, 3.5 assists per contest for an Arizona team that was very explosive this season. What were your thoughts when you saw this? Because I do feel like this is a fit between he and Illinois that is very much going to work out.
Anytime you can get a player to come home, that's always going to be a positive. And look, one problem that I always had with Illinois that is that they just didn't have a true point guard. I don't think Ty Rogers is truly a point guard. And look, that probably didn't matter one way or another against UConn, but having somebody that you can trust to get the ball in their hands now that Terrence Shannon is gone, that's going to be a good thing. And they've added some pieces. You got Trey White. You bring in Jake Davis, the guard from Mercer. It'll be interesting to see what else they can do. They've been tied to a couple of guys, including most notably A.J. Storr from Wisconsin. But I am curious on what's going to happen if Boswell is one of the lead guards instead of playing a supportive role, which he did this past season next to Caleb Love.
Yeah, but I do think that that is going to be a really interesting fit in general as well, and I do think that that's going to be a big one moving forward as Tristan Freeman, who does a tremendous job over at Bustin Brackets, is joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I'm not sure if you've picked up on this the last few seasons, but it does feel like different conferences have different ways and tenors of the way that they do approach a transfer portal. We notice a lot of them trying to right the wrongs from like past years. We notice this past offseason, the SEC, after they didn't have a lot of jump shooting in the conference in general, you notice a lot of teams like Tennessee pick up guys like Dalton Kinect. Alabama has always been explosive on offense, but they got even more explosive on offense. And I feel like we did notice with the Big Ten, they decided to enter into the portal a little bit more. Is there maybe perhaps a conference that you take a look at and maybe they were lacking in an area that they might take this a little bit of approach, much like the SEC did this past offseason in terms of bringing in more jump shooting?
I kind of want you to take a rain check on that because it's so early. I just think everyone is going into the portal, guys who are either shooters or not. The teams are just going to have to be forced to add bodies. And I've seen teams take players who are shooting around 28-29% from deep. That's actually something that, you know, if you looked at some of the crystal balls for Arizona's players, that's like, okay, they're adding, you know, double-digit scores, but they're not shooters. And, you know, that includes Miles Rice, who they added this weekend. I just think a lot of these teams and coaches are just getting guys that they know they can commit and they can just add because no one wants to be stuck scrambling at the end of May when the portal ends in terms of guys who's entering. So I think you're just seeing a lot of teams and players just get guys and hope that it fits later. And that worked for a couple of teams. It did not work for some teams. That included Arkansas, who added a lot of guys, and it just backfired on them. But I don't even think there's a strategy as much as get the guys that you can get, and then just hope that it works out later.
Yep, and Texas, they certainly took that approach on Sunday, being able to get a pair of guys that have averaged double figures throughout their career. That's very impactful, and what is impactful for this podcast is getting great guests aboard like you, Tristan. You do an amazing job over at Bustin' Brackets. I know that all 12 months of the year, you're taking a look at college basketball. You are hard at work taking a look at the transfer portal, all these coaching hires, and so much more. So love to get people at home know it's on tap for you. I know people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, you can check me out at Hoopsnut351 on Twitter/X. You can also follow at Bustin' Brackets and check out our site. And then this week, it's just going to be portal heavy, looking at needs for teams. And then Monday morning, I'll have the top 50 early transfer commits just for people to get an idea of who's already signed and which teams are doing well so far.
Tristan is doing an amazing job breaking down all that we're getting in the offseason, and he's going to have a set for what is going to be a tremendous 2024-25 season, and it's always great to get him aboard. Big thanks to Tristan for joining me on Cusco Superstyle, part of the VSIN Family Podcast, and coming next, saw quite a bit of player movement on Sunday. I will give you a recap of that next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Cusica Soups with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. It is always great to get Tristan Freeman aboard. He does such good work over at Bus and Brackets, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love, one of the hardest working men when it comes to the offseason as well. I know that he's doing a great job deciphering what we're all getting in the transfer portal, taking a look at all of these coaching moves and so much more. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast that I give you a little roundup as to the news and notes we saw in college basketball on Sunday. We really don't get as much news when it comes to weekends. You'll notice that the Monday through Friday shows are going to be a little bit more packed than these ones here on Saturday and Sunday. And once we get a little bit more clarity with regards to these rosters, I probably will be using the Saturday and Sunday podcast a little bit more for conference previews as well. So do be mindful of that. But we are taking a look at not just the D1 transfers, but the non-D1 transfers like Jamal Mutlip. Hopefully I said that correctly. It was over at non-D1 Kilgore College a season ago. He's heading on over to Appalachian State. Appalachian State has lost quite a bit here in the offseason from what was a tremendous team, but this guy, he's going to fit in relatively well, in my opinion. It gives the team a bit of shooting that they're going to need as well. With Mutlip, he over at Kilgore College as a 6'6 combo player, shot nearly 39% from three, 19 points, 5 boards, 78% of the charity stripe. Really like his overall game. He was one of the standouts ever at the junior college level, so that is a big one for Appalachian State. That's going to be able to help them out a little bit moving forward. We saw a few guys that decided that were at the D1 level that they were going to be making a little bit of a bigger move, like Tyler Perkins. The Penn Quakers were able to get a lot out of him this past season. Now he's going to be staying within the state. He is going to be going over to Villanova. For Perkins, dealt with a little bit of an injury towards the middle part of the year last year at Penn that limited him to 29 games in total, but he was rock solid. 13.5 points per contest, shot 35% from 3-point. True freshman, so I think that this could be one of those cases where maybe he doesn't see a bunch of playing time as a sophomore, but I do like these sorts of moves. Being able to lock in a guy for multiple years like this, I think that that is going to be very beneficial for them, and I think that's going to be big moving forward. We also have guys that go from the D1 level to the non-D1 level, and these are very easy for you. All you need to do is note, insert your favorite D1 player here. He's no longer at the D1 level. You're able to just cross him off your list of guys that you need to evaluate and break down for the upcoming season and move on. That is the case for this gentleman in Jaden Thompson. Thompson last season was at Charleston Southern. He averaged 2.5 points per contest. Really wasn't making too much of a ripple for them. He has decided that he is going to be going down to Winston-Salem University. You wish him absolutely nothing but the best. Cross him off your list of guys that you need to evaluate, and then you're able to move on from there. This man is going to be, I guess, following in the foots of Jerry McNamara, as McNamara was obviously a standout at Syracuse. He's now the head coach over at Siena. Peter Carey last season, he was over at Syracuse, saw no playing time whatsoever at 6'11", was able to give the team about a rebound per contest when he was able to take the floor. He's decided that he is going to be heading on over to Siena as well. And we've seen a lot of low to mid-majors have success with a guy like a Carey that sees absolutely no playing time at insert your power conference here. He's able to go down to a lower level and boom, he's able to really develop from there. Murray State has been quite active here in the transfer portal here in the offseason. They're going to be bringing in Kylan Milton. He was over at Arkansas Pine Bluff this last season, and for Milton, he did begin his career over at Western Kentucky.
He spent a really nice score the last few seasons in college basketball at 6'4" last season at Pine Bluff, 17 points, 6.5 boards, 3 assists, shot it from 3-point at about a 35% clip. He's gotten better and better as his career has went along from distance, and going to be very interesting to watch Murray State moving forward, as it's not necessarily been the second coming for Steve Prohm that he was necessarily expecting, because he had a lot of success first time around there. Right now, it's been a little bit of a rebuild for them, but they've also got Joe Charles coming in from Louisiana, relatively solid rebounder. So do like some of the moves that are being made, and that's certainly going to be able to help them out. I feel like this was probably the biggest piece of player news that we did see on Sunday. Kylan Boswell, he was a big part of Arizona this past season, was one of their main facilitators. Wasn't necessarily a go-to scorer at about 9.5 points per contest, but shot it relatively well in his 2 years at Arizona. He was a starter this year, shot 38.5% from 3-point range in his 2 seasons on campus, threw in their 3.5 assists, 1.4 steals per contest. Him heading on over to Illinois is massive, because they're going to be losing Terrence Shannon. They need someone to be a go-to guy, and Boswell at times has shown to be a go-to scorer. I don't know if he's going to be averaging 20-plus points per contest or anything like that, but I do think that this is going to be a nice gift for them. Now, I don't know if Gabe Madsen and Mason Madsen are related, but Gabe Madsen has been playing at Utah over the last few seasons. Mason Madsen has been playing over at Boston College, and for Mason, he has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Utah for his final season, which I think it's his final season, because these guys just seem to have unlimited eligibility at this point. But for Madsen, he was a part-time starter this last year at Boston College, shot 97% at the free throw line, 8 points, 3.5 boards, shot 38% from 3-point range as a 6'4", 6'5", a little bit of a just designated scorer in general. Not going to give you a ton on the defensive side or anything like that, but this is a guy that certainly knows how to be able to put the biscuit in the basket, and we shall see if this man is able to put the biscuit in the basket. And this has been a nice little pipeline for South Dakota State. Feels like South Dakota State every single year brings in some sort of a Wisconsin cast off. This year it's Isaac Lindsay who's going to be heading on over. Lindsay was a former like top 200, top 250 or so recruit. Wasn't necessarily a highly touted guy, but just was never able to find it with Wisconsin. His best year was during the 2022-23 season. He's heading on over to South Dakota State. And for South Dakota State, the big question is, what are you going to be able to get out of him? Because we have noticed that for the Jackrabbits, a lot of their talent has been more of the homegrown talent. Now, they lose Zeke Mayo this offseason. That is going to be a big loss, because he was Mr. Do-It-All for them. But they tried this a few seasons ago when they brought in Matthew Moores, who only put up about 3.5 points per contest. He was a top 5 guy from the state of Wisconsin, began his career with the Badgers, has never really developed, shot under 30% from 3-point range. So certainly you were hoping for a little bit more there. We already touched upon what Texas was able to do in the portal on Sunday. We did that in the first segment, so we won't go back through that. But you did see Connor Enright decide that he is going to be going from Drake, and he is going to be heading on over to DePaul. Was a nice ancillary guard last season for Drake. He put up 7 points, 3.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, shot from 3-point range about 43.5%. So in a relatively small role, he was able to do a fine job. Have to wonder how his game is going to be translating on over to the Big East, so I do have some serious question marks in terms of the leap up in competition, so there is that aspect of things. Cody Head, he's heading on over to Arkansas State. Last season he was over at Lipscomb, not necessarily a guy that made a super duper big impact or anything like that, but I do think that he's going to be able to make a little bit of a dent. 8 points, he from 3-point range was able to shoot about 35.5% as a first year guy, so I do think that that's going to be a relatively solid head for an Arkansas State team that was very much all gas but no breaks last season. This one is a guy that as well was all gas, no breaks, and Memphis, they got a nice up close and personal look at him. Kobe Rogers, he was playing at Wichita State this last season, was their top scorer, 16.5 points per contest, shot about 41% from 3-point range, legitimately was the only player for Wichita State that was able to shoot threes last season. He's heading on over to Memphis. Going to be interesting to see what Memphis is going to be doing at the point guard spot this upcoming season, but for Memphis, it becomes a case of if you can't beat him, join him. Would like to see a little bit more well-roundedness from Kobe Rogers. He was able to give you closer to 2 assists per contest this past season and doesn't make bad decisions with the ball or anything like that. So I do think that he's going to be a very solid add for them, but you still do have a few question marks as to what he's going to be doing moving forward as he began his career at Siena. And this is another man who began his career over at Siena, and he's going to be transferring. JVM McCollum last season was a rock solid player over at Oklahoma. Oklahoma. 13.5 points, 3.5 assists per contest. Not a prevalent three-point shooter. He, as a freshman at Siena, shot about 42.5% from three. This past year, just 31.5% from distance, but has always been an 84-plus percent free throw shooter. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Georgia Tech, and a big win for Damon Settlemyer. For Georgia Tech, they were really lacking a little bit of outside presence. They were able to do an okay job down low, but you could tell that they just needed a little bit more oomph in the backcourt, and that is going to be nice for them. We've got a lot of guys that are now in the transfer portal and the NBA draft, like Jordan Ivey Curry, for example. He's going to be declaring for the NBA draft while maintaining his college eligibility. He was at UTSA this last season, averaged 15-plus points per contest. He has already decided that he is going to be transferring over to Virginia Tech, so you've got a lot of that going on, and typically when guys enter into the NBA draft and have already picked where they're going to be transferring to, typically they don't stay in the NBA draft. I'm just going to call it what it is, but certainly something to monitor. And this player also declared for the NBA draft. That would be Hunter Salas. He was very good over at Wake Forest this last season. He was your top scorer, being able to supply 18 points, 4 boards, 2.5 assists. Was a former top 25 recruit of Gonzaga. Just couldn't really find his footing while he was over with the Bulldogs. Last few seasons, goes on over to Wake Forest, becomes their top scorer, and just a really nice, well-rounded player that was able to shoot 40-plus percent from three-point. So a solid get there. You saw Josh Beadle, and we've got some Beadle juice with Boston College, as they had a lot of moves happen in the last 48 or so hours. But for Beadle, he has decided that he is going to be going from Clemson to Boston College. So staying in the ACC wasn't necessarily a massive impact guy for Clemson, but I mean, he saw some minutes. He was putting up about 11 minutes per contest. He threw up their 3 points. Has never been an amazing three-point shooter or anything like that, but he was able to give this team a little bit of a nice, tenacious defense. So that is going to be a nice get, in my opinion, for Boston College, especially in the wake of them losing Mason Madsen. Bobby Pettifer, he has decided that he is going to be going down a level. He began his career at Kansas last season. A solid season over at Eastern Carolina. Wasn't necessarily their top scorer or anything like that, just 8 points per contest, but solid facilitator, 3.5 assists, a 1.1 turnovers per game, a nice lockdown defender. He has decided that he is going to be going to High Point. High Point was very much one of the better offenses in all of college basketball. This is a tremendous gift for them. Now, you know, if someone to be able to really stir the drink, he's not necessarily going to be a guy that's going to be looking for a shot or anything like that. So I do think that this is going to be a great fit if they can retain some of the guys that they've had in the past few seasons. As for their roster, it's a little bit murky at this point. They're going to be in good shape. Alec Oglesby, he is no stranger to the transfer portal. This is going to be team number 4 in the last 5 years for him, as he was at Stetson this last season and put up good numbers, 10.5 points, shot 40% from 3 points as a 6'6" combo player. He's heading on over to Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee desperately needed some shooting because, man, it was rough for them, to say the least, this past season. But being able to get a guy with versatility that was able to shoot 40% from three, he's able to give you a little bit of rebounding with about 4.5 boards per contest, isn't the world's worst on defense as well. This is a solid get for a Middle Tennessee team that they're looking to rebuild after last season. It was very, very rough for them, to say the least. Benny Williams has a lot of sheer athleticism, just could never really find his way at Syracuse. It felt like he got into some off-the-court kerfuffles and everything like that. It was a nice starter during the 2022-23 season. You could tell that this new coaching regime just didn't necessarily suit him very well during the 2022-23 campaign. He was able to put up 7.5 points, 4 boards, shot 40% from 3-point range. Once again, really good athlete. He has decided that he is going to be transferring on over to Central Florida. Central Florida getting themselves a really nice kid. I think that he can be very rock solid on the defensive side of things. So I do like this move for them, and I do think that moving forward, you do have to like their potential upside there. And then we also saw, heading on over from Indiana State to Texas, Jason Kent. Kent was a very nice, well-rounded player for Indiana State this past year. 13.5 points, 8 boards per contest. I was alluding to the two guards that they picked up in Julian Larry, coupled with Tremont Mark a little bit before, but 3 big-time gets for Texas over the last 48 hours. That is very big for them, and it is very big to be staying on top of all these moves in college basketball, and I'm doing my best to be able to help you out on that front. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast Heaps, you're able to subscribe wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you have one of 2 ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline, @unit_D1. Keep in mind, letters, They mean it does not matter. So, as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And a big thanks to Tristan Freeman, who does amazing work over at Boston Brackets. He joined me in the last segment, coming at you guys every single day this year. Regular season and off season, we're building up what is going to be hopefully a tremendous 2024-25 campaign. So appreciate tuning in today, and I'll be back with you. Let's get them out. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.